For a Jewish person, the Sabbath is so incredibly important. And so it's important to God, and it's really important to these Pharisees. If you look in Exodus here, in the passage of the day, you don't have to go there now, but maybe in your own time you want to look at it, you see how important it is. And God says you have to obey the Sabbath. It has to be a day of rest, a day of celebration, a day where you do no work. And if you do no work, you have to spend that time with your family, you have to spend that time with people. And God says this day will help to remind you that I am the Lord your God. And so it'll be a day where you remember who God is and what God has done. And God is so serious about this passage in Exodus that in this passage, which is only, six verses long, twice he says, if you don't obey the Sabbath, put that person to death. And then another time he says, if the person doesn't obey the Sabbath, just cut them off from my people. Cut them off completely. So you can see that to a Jewish person, this was a big deal. And to the Pharisees, it was a big deal as well. They had taken this idea of doing no work, and they divided work up into 39 different sections. So there was 39 different categories under which you could do work. And here are the disciples of Jesus blatantly breaking for them. They've gone for reaping, threshing, preparing a meal, and winnowing. Winnowing, I didn't know, I put it into a dictionary, is where you rub it up in your hands and you blow the chaff away from the grain. That's winnowing. There they are doing that on the Sabbath. Not on, okay? So the Pharisees, to them, the Sabbath was incredibly important too. So they had all these rules put together so that they could observe the law. They had law built on top of law built on top of law. So to both God and the Pharisees, the Sabbath is vitally important, but for different reasons. As you see in that passage in Exodus, that to God it was important that we do no work. It was important that we celebrate, that we spend time with our families, that we remember that God is God. But to the Pharisees, we see from Jesus' answer where Jesus goes, man wasn't created for the Sabbath. That the Pharisees thought that the purpose of man was to observe the Sabbath. So for these two groups, the importance, it was very different depending on whether it was God's point of view or the Pharisees' point of view. And so Jesus comes back quite harshly on the Pharisees who attacked him. He goes, we miss the humor. We also miss the kind of sarcasm in this passage. But Jesus goes, have you not read? These are Pharisees. These guys from children have learned the entire Old Testament. Most of them would have known it by heart from Genesis to Malachi. Malachi? Yeah, it's M, it's at the end. They would have known it by heart. And so here's Jesus turning around to these people who know the thing by heart and go, oh, really? You haven't read this, have you? And so we miss the humor that's there, but also it's quite harsh. It's somewhere between irony and sarcasm and satire. If I didn't know better, I'd say Jesus is kind of ripping it out of them. But Jesus comes back so harshly because he wants them to see. He doesn't want them to be blind to why they do what they do. And he wants them to stop teaching people to be blind as to why they do what they do, why they live how they live. So he comes back with this story, which is from 1 Samuel 21. It's a story which was kind of like summarized in that passage where David goes in and he eats this bread, and he eats this bread that it's only right for the priests of the temple to eat. And that's a law that's laid down in Leviticus. And it's really like the first five books of the Bible, the Jews, they were so important. They were all the law came from. And they really like treasured these laws. They thought about these laws. How can I observe these laws? What am I doing to break these laws? And here's Jesus. And he says in this passage, oh, do you not remember the story where David broke the law and that was okay? And it's really important to see what Jesus is doing. And if you don't see this, then I'm pulling a load of stuff out of this text that isn't in it. Because what Jesus is doing here is he's asked a question about Sabbath law. What's right to do on the Sabbath? What's wrong to do on the Sabbath? And he answers the question with a question in a typical kind of rabbi style. But he answers the question with a question, and the question is about this story, which isn't about the Sabbath. So Jesus is actually making this topic, they're asking a question about Sabbath law, and Jesus is making it bigger. This isn't just about Sabbath law. This is about something more. It's like if a child comes to you and says, hey, what's 9 divided by 3? You can say 3. That's the right answer. Or you can go, well, do you know how to multiply? Do you know how to divide? Like, do you know what's dividing there? Clearly, I know the difference. But you can begin to talk to them about maths, and you can begin to help them, and you can do more than just simply answer their question. Or if you're asked, do you think the new Ford Focus, I drive a Ford Focus, like RX5 is comfortable? And you can say, well, all Fords are comfortable. And so now we're not talking about the Ford RX5, we're talking about all Fords. So by the way, I've responded, we're suddenly talking about more. So do you see here that Jesus, by the way he responds, has suddenly broadened the topic. We're not just talking about Sabbath anymore. We're talking about religious practices. We're talking about the things we do, the traditions that we have. So I think it's really important that we see this. And so just to summarize what's gone on in this passage, Jesus is walking along, the Pharisees come along and say, you've broken the Sabbath law. And Jesus says, no, I don't think I have. In fact, I think you've missed the point of the law. I think the law and the traditions, I think they're bigger than you think they are. And Jesus says, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. But we know that Sabbath's broader than just Sabbath. It's traditions. Man wasn't made for this. These things, they were made for man. Another translation renders it as, these things were made to serve man. These traditions were made to serve man. Man wasn't made to serve these traditions. Okay, so I think we have a vague idea of what's going on in the passage. It's clearly not perfect, but you're happy enough that you've just nod, I'll feel happier. That's great. Okay, so we're going to look at trying to apply this, right? How do we apply this to us today, living in 21st century Dublin? Well, I think there's a balance in this passage. There's the balance between being too much like the Pharisees, where we make our faith about what we do and what we don't do. Do I give? Do I serve? Do I not do this? Do I avoid do this? Do I look down on those people who do that? We can make our faith like that, but equally we can fall off the other side, where we can fail to hear the words of Jesus when Jesus says these religious traditions, they were made for man. We can fail to hear that. So let's look at each one of those separately. If you want to go on there, and again, that's great. Okay, so let's first look at like the Pharisees' ways of looking at things, and how do we do that today? Well, I think it's pretty common to look at the ways like the Pharisees look at it. Like, if you don't think it's common, go out in the streets, find anyone who just doesn't really care about Christianity, doesn't really care who Jesus was, why he came. They're not that hard to find. And ask them, what does it mean to live the Christian life? I think the majority of them will define Christianity as what we do and what we don't do. I think we'd be even more disturbed if we asked our friends who know us quite well, our friends who we spend a lot of time with and who we love, you know, and that we ask them, well, what's my Christian faith mean to my life? I think it'd be scary, because I think a lot of them would define it more by what we don't do than how we love them or how we love God. And like that first passage, which was read by Alan, like all the law and all the prophets are summed up in this, love God, love your neighbor. And so I'm not saying, okay, we should live however we want to live as long as we love people well. But we have to look at, do we live the way we live because we love God, because we love other people? That's a question that's worth asking. And also about this Pharisee way of living, it's an easy way to live. Tick the boxes, you know? Tick a load of boxes, I feel good about myself. Or tick a load of boxes, I feel really bad about myself. You can tick other people's boxes as well, and you can just be like, they didn't live up to that. It's black and white. You live that way, you didn't live that way. And I think the Christian way of living, It's a faith and a life defined by love. It's a lot more vague. It's a lot more complicated. And it's not a Disney or a romantic love. Like, it's a love that's tough, that's difficult, that goes through hard times, that can take correction, and at times can correct other people when they step out of line, when in love, when you know them and you have that relationship. So it's not a black and white life. It's a grey life. It's a beautiful grey life, but times it's great. So that's the Pharisee kind of way and how that applies today maybe a little. I'm just putting out things for you guys to think about. But anyone in a job they're not particularly good at, or anyone remember being young or in school or possibly currently in a relationship, if you're in any of those categories, you probably have a good idea of what it's like to be told off, yeah? So everyone has a fair idea of what it's like to be told off. And do you ever... someone comes to tell you off, and you know you've done something wrong, and you're like, yeah, honest, I'm really sorry, like, I totally, and you don't even let them say what they wanted to say, because you're just, like, really embarrassed that you did that. Anyone ever do this? Just pretend you did. And sometimes you do this. Do you ever find out that the reason the person was coming to you, the reason they were hurt, or the reason they were angry, wasn't the reason that you thought they were angry? I think sometimes we do that with this passage, because we all live like the Pharisees sometimes. And it's very easy sometimes to see that in our own life. And so we see that so quickly that we go, yeah, and we don't see the other side of this coin. We don't see the other side of the balance. And so to look at this other side, that these things, these religious traditions, that they were made for man. Everything we do is part of our faith. It can become dead tradition. It doesn't matter what it is. Everything can, we can make the means to experiencing God, we can make those means the ends in themselves. We can do religion for the sake of religion. It doesn't matter what, how we do our religion, we can do it for the sake of religion. And so take examples, like maybe we're in a meeting and the meeting's going amazing and we really feel like God's at work in our lives and we raise our hands or we pray out. Pretty soon we learn that if I raise my hands or I pray out in a regular meeting, it looks like I'm in a good place with God, even if I'm not. Or take the things we do week in, week out, like we give money or we serve or we pray the same prayer or read liturgy. And we do this week in, week out, and pretty soon it becomes meaningless. Now these things, we can write them off as dead religion, as useless. But then I think pretty soon we're going to find ourselves just constantly running away from being religious, running away from religion. And not act, and constantly saying, well, that's not an authentic experience. It's just religious. And we can make any part of our faith religious. But yet, in the Bible, and in 2,000 years of church history, and thousands of years of Jewish history, we have these traditions. We have these practical, tangible experiences of the faith that help us understand this beautiful, deeper spiritual reality. I don't think we should just reject them. So like we have the biblical practice of baptism. So like we think about how we were dead in our sins and we died to ourselves and were raised to new life in Christ. Or hymns that inspire us, not just because of the words, but because we know that thousands and thousands of people have sung these before us throughout generations. That's inspirational. Or even the example from the passage, like Sabbath. You know, that we take a Sabbath day and we rest and we relax and we reorientate ourselves with the God that created us. We set aside this day that echoes right back to the story of creation. There are some beautiful things. Let's not dismiss them as religion, because we can spend our lives running away from religion. And it's much better that we use these things as a means to a much greater end, a means to experiencing this God. It means to experiencing the sometimes confusing and intangible concepts of Christianity. And they become more real and they become more important as we do that. Okay, so I'm not saying all tradition is good. Obviously not. There's some crazy ideas out there. But I think you've got enough wisdom yourselves and with the Bible and with the Holy Spirit to decide what's good, what works and what doesn't. So I'm not going to go through that. I'm just going to finish up actually now. I suppose my prayer for us as a group of people is, as a group of people, may we never make religion or tradition the ends in itself, the purpose of why we live, how we live. Instead, may these practices, these traditions, this way of doing life, may it be something that constantly aligns us with our Creator. May it be something that brings us into a deeper understanding and experience of our God. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, may these traditions and these practices be something that teaches us to love people better and to love God more. And so tonight then, we're going to do some things. We're going to go back and do some traditional things. We're going to look at the creed, as Orla says. We're going to sing some kind of older hymns. And Rob, as he closes, is going to close with this blessing of the priesthood, which is like 3,500-4,000 years old. And was in Jewish tradition. I just think these things are beautiful, and it's important to remember these things and think of people who've gone before us. So that's me. Thanks very much.
Thank you.